Is that, yeah, there it goes. Yeah. Okay. The crucial revelation of life in the scriptures. We're not talking about an animal life. We're not talking about the grass life. But we are talking about the human life. But even the more, as you will see when we get into it, we are talking about the highest life, and that is God's life. So there is a revelation that we need to see, so I hope that we all are open to receive something new and fresh. Now my question, and do not answer out loud, but my question is this. Well, let's read Roman numeral 1 up to romance first. Go.
The entire Bible is a romance.
I don't know if this is new to you. But if it is, it will become clear as we proceed through the outline. But here's the question. How is your love life with the Lord? Is it fresh? Is it vital? Is it living? Is it new? Now, just consider that for a moment. Let that work into you. And we will just proceed. And then I think we will end this way. I will get down to Roman numeral 3, and I have something particular to say there. But I would like to say this. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, there is the church there in Ephesus. And there are four things that begin with the letter L that I would like to pass on. Number one is love. The church in Ephesus had an issue, the Lord had an issue with the church in Ephesus, and that is they left their first love. Then there is another L, there is life, the divine life. Then there's another L, and that is the divine light. And then there's another L in Revelation chapter 2, and there that is the lampstand. Love brings us into a living. A living brings us into light. That light is for the lampstand, or the lampstand in today's terms is, we could say, the church. We can't, no, we will say it is the church. And in the church, we have services. In the book of Malachi, it says this, they served the Lord, but they did it mournfully. This is Malachi chapter 3, verse 14. So, how's your love life? Does it bring you into the enjoyment of life? Does that life bring you into the light? And does that light issue in our being corporately, the lampstand or the church that satisfies and meets God's need? And in the church, are you active in your service to the Lord? Or are you doing things mournfully? If you look at the book of Colossians, I'm just going to leave that hanging there. If you look at the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it gives us a definition of love. Can we read Colossians chapter 1, verse 18? And if you have, and it says this, and you can look along with me. It says this. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Listen to this. That he himself might have the first place in all things. A definition of love, according to this verse, is this. Does Christ have the first place in your being? If you look at the previous verse, verse 17, it says that he is before all things, and all things cohere or subsist in him. That means this, dear saints, in God's eyes, Christ is a center. In God's eyes, Christ is everything. So if he is everything in God's eyes, if he's everything in the universe, how about us? He should be the center of everything to us. Therefore, we hope that this meeting will bring you into a more, a increased love relationship with the unique head in the universe, Christ.
Amen.
Is that a bigger amen?
Amen.
Lord, we can say this, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Or we can say it this way, Or I can say it this way. How about we all become the Lord Jesus, I love you people?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. I like to be that kind of person that loves the Lord without any kind of hesitation, distraction, or anything. Now, I would like to focus on Roman numeral 1. Let's continue the reading. Let's finish the reading because I didn't read the title of this session. So let's read that. Go.
How the bride of Christ comes into being.
Some more adjustments. If you look at our verses, look at Roman numeral 2, and then you look at letter C. That is taken from the book of Genesis.
Letter C is from the book of Genesis, letter D, as is letter D, all the subpoints. And then you look at you continue through to letter Roman numeral. Where's Roman numeral 4? What happened to it? Anyway, as you read on,
and my outline, there's no Roman numeral 4. Just 3. Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. They're from the book of Genesis. Strictly speaking, if you read Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If strictly speaking, Genesis is not a book on creation, strictly speaking. Now, is it there in verse 1? Yes. But look at verse 2. Verse 2, Genesis 1, 2 begins with "and." And there are four negative words there: darkness, deep, emptiness, and waste. That means that something was already created. And so then God did something. He said, let there be light. Well, the Spirit was brooding, and then the Word came, and then light came. For what? For life. For life to come forth. If you look at Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, it says in the last part of that verse, Jehovah did not create the earth a waste. He created it to be inhabited. Then you continue your reading in Genesis, and you will see that he brought forth life, light, then he separated waters, and then eventually grass came forth, then trees, and then animals, and then eventually man. That's life. So the earth was created for life. So the book of Genesis, if you just look at chapter 1, indicates strongly that Genesis is a book on life. But then if you look in chapter 2, there is something that is quite particular there. It's the tree of life verse 9. And that tree of life represents something. And we can say that, we do say that the tree of life represents God as life. If you look at John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine. That's a tree. And then in John chapter 14, he's the life. So you put those two together, you have the tree of life. So in Genesis, it is a chapter on life. So the revelation that we are seeing is to unfold this life. And what is this life for? This life is to get into us. This life is to saturate us. This life is to permeate us. And our brother Scott gave us another word that I'm going to take from him. And that is, this life is to marinate us. We need to be marinated in this life.
Amen.
Okay. So, I'm getting excited. I'm getting ahead of myself because, in this life, is everything you need.
Amen.
Are you sad? There's cheer. There's cheerfulness in this life.
Amen.
Are you poor? There's richness in this life.
Amen.
Are you depressed? There's no depression in this life. He's in ascension.
Amen.
Everything we need is in this life. So what? We just need to get ourselves saturated, permeated, and marinated. You know, just like you marinate. We had some chicken tonight, and it was marinated in all these great juices. It was really good. And the chicken picked up all the essence of that juice. This is a picture of what we are doing here today, dear ones. We are being marinated.
Amen.
with this wonderful Christ, who according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, the entire verse, but actually we'll focus on the last part. It says, this one, who was the last Adam, the second man, he became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So we are being marinated.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you like to be marinated?
Amen.
I surely do. So now we need to see how this bride, which you'll see later in the outline, comes into being. I would like just to begin with, or continue our reading with Roman numeral 1. Please go. Roman numeral 1, let's read it from the beginning. Please go. Now, the verses here, Song of Songs 1, Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, but we like to say Song of Songs, is concerning the lover and the beloved. And there, you know, it's kind of intimate. There she says, let him kiss me. It's easy for the sister to say that, kiss me to a man, you know, to the Lord. Kiss me. But how about us brothers? Kiss me. But we need to have that kind of personal relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
We need to have that kind of an affectionate relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
We need to have this kind of, and it should be private.
Amen.
And it absolutely has to be in the Spirit.
Amen.
So we should say, Lord Jesus, brothers, Lord Jesus, and friends, Lord Jesus, kiss me. It's all about, the Bible's all about a romance. Look at Isaiah 54, verse 5. Isaiah 54, verse 5. It speaks about Christ being, or Jehovah being our husband. Isaiah 54, 5. For your maker is your husband. Your maker is your husband. His name is Jehovah of hosts. It doesn't say your maker is your creator. He is your creator. But even the more, he is your husband. One more verse. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2. It continues. Okay, Jeremiah 2:2. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says Jehovah, I remember concerning you the kindness of your youth, the love of your bridal days, when you served me.
No.
Doesn't say that. When you followed after me in the wilderness. Bridal days. Bridal days. The Lord is looking for a bride. He's waiting for that day that the bride will be prepared, that he could marry her, and then they could dwell together somewhere. And I'll leave that hanging. I'll leave that hanging. Okay, one more Old Testament verse. Let's turn to Jeremiah 31, 32. Jeremiah 31, 32. Okay, 31, 32. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by their hand to bring them out from the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was their husband. I hope that you're kind of seeing that the Bible is all about a husband and a wife. It's all about a bridal day that the Lord will marry us and we will marry him, but we have to get ourselves prepared. Okay, now let's look at, those are the only Old Testament verses I'll read. There are many more, so we'll leave that to you. Look at Revelation. Well, 2 Corinthians, I want to read that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, these are the verses in the New Testament that tell us the same thing. Okay, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Please go, okay. For I am jealous over you with a jealousy of God. Please read, go. I betroth you to just one husband. That husband is Jehovah, but here it says Christ, so it must mean that Christ is Jehovah, or Jehovah is embodied in Christ. Then one other verse I would like to read, and that is Revelation chapter 21:2. Revelation 21:2. Okay. I remember I left it hanging. I said that he's waiting for that bridal day and they will dwell somewhere. Okay, that somewhere is some place. And that some place is a person. And we'll look at it right here. Verse 2. Please read. Go. There's the New Jerusalem, and that's a place. But then it says later in that verse, a bride. So what is it, a bride or a place? It's yes. Yes. It's yes. That's the answer. No amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's the answer. It's more than a place, it's a person, and we will dwell together with that person in eternity. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm so happy that I'm going to dwell in a person.
Amen.
For so many years, I was taught something else. But now this verse alone, and there are others, that indicate strongly and clearly that I will dwell in a person.
Amen.
And how I dwell in that person has everything to do with that person being permeated in me, saturated with himself in me, and marinated.
Amen.
Okay, let's read letter so this person, I will just say this, is the New Jerusalem. Okay, now, let's read letter A. Go. And this will become clearer as we go through the outline, so I'll just go on to letter B. Please read B. Sisters. Ah, permeated, flowing, transforming, building, saturated, marinated, that causes us to become one with God and makes him one with us. Okay, letter C, let me read. In order for God and his people to be one, there must be a mutual love between them. Like the love between a husband and wife, but even higher. It's even higher than that. Okay, the question again. Why does God love us? You're quiet. Why does God love us? Because what?
We're like him.
Amen. To express him. Amen. He loves us for no reason. He loves us for no reason. Amen. Hallelujah. He still loves us for no reason. I'm sorry. I don't care what your condition is. The Lord loves you.
Amen.
The fact that you are here is a strong indicator that the Lord loves you.
Amen.
Tonight, as wretched as I am, I feel loved.
Amen.
By the Lord.
Amen.
Now what? He wants that love to return to him. So here we are, just returning this love to him. Letter D, as God's people, please read, brothers, letter D.
As God's people love God and spend time in fellowship with him in his word, God infuses them with his divine element, making them one with him as himself, but the same as he is in life, nature, and expression.
Please read Psalm 119, verse 140. It's here in the verse reference. Psalm 119, 140. Okay, do you have it? Do you have, okay. Your word is very good. Now, if you read, I forgot the verse now. I didn't have it. Let me see if I can find it real quick. No. Okay. Anyway, there's a reference to this verse that picks up this word muse. And the word muse has a quite... It's verse 15 in Psalm 119. Please read. Psalm 119, 115. I mean 15.
I will muse upon your precepts and regard your ways.
Dear saints, in order to have the Lord's flowing life, transforming life in us, making us the same as he is in life, nature, and expression, we need to use the word of God.
Amen.
And not just use it, eat it. In Jeremiah 15, 16, it says, your words were found, and I did eat them, they became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Therefore, we should take the word of God, the Bible, and enjoy it. And this word muse indicates a kind of speaking it out loud. I like to speak to, your words were found. I like to speak it out loud. And then I like to speak to myself when I'm alone. And so this word has that connotation, speak, talking to yourself. So I like to use the word in that way. And then as I do that, it brings me into a deeper, more intensified love relationship with my beloved. Okay, let's go on to Roman numeral 2. In Genesis 2, we see a picture of Christ in the church in the types of Adam and Eve. I like that. Okay. Letter A, please read.
Adam signifies God in Christ as the real universal husband, who is seen by
our Lord. Now, I would like to say this before we read, and please turn there to Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 25 through 27. And while you're turning there, I would like to say this. In our love relationship with the Lord, he wants us to be obsessed with him. Now, we don't like that word, generally speaking. Excuse me. However, dear saints, dear friends, we need to be obsessed with the Lord. Every one of us is addicted. We need to be addicted to the Lord. Every one of us is addicted to something. Something. And that addiction drives us. We think about it. We're just immersed in it. How about this? How about we be obsessed with loving the Lord?
Amen.
How about we be addicted to this divine, human, wonderful person?
Amen.
That's what I want to be. I want to be addicted to this person. Now look what he did for us. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Look what this wonderful person did. Ephesians chapter 5. And this is verses 25 through 27. Okay. Please read Brothers 25.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Sisters, verse 26. Everyone, verse 27.
That he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she would be holy and without blemish.
If you look at verse 25, you see something particular, and that is the Lord's redemption. Aren't you happy that the Lord died for you?
Amen.
I know I am. That he rescued me out of the fire, I'm so happy that he is my redeemer. And we could add a word to that, to the word redemption. We can say this: it is judicial. He has to do it because he's a righteous God, according to Psalm 89, verse 14. He has to forgive us because Christ died. He paid the debt. So I'm so happy that I have, and I'll use the words together, a judicial redemption. I'm enjoying a judicial redemption. But look at verse 26, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water and the word. You have this word sanctify. That also has a connotation, or it probably means, or should mean, or does mean, that he's doing something in us organically or inwardly. He's washing us. The redemption took care of our outward problem. Now we have a dispositional problem. Just consider where you were in your mind before you came through those doors. What were you thinking about? Just consider, sisters, with your dear husbands. I know my wife with me, she probably had a case against me because I'm just a terrible person. But the Lord is washing that away out of her. He's washing inwardly all the things that we are apart from Christ. So we can call it this. We can say this is an ongoing salvation that we need daily, or organic salvation. So we have judicial redemption. We have organic salvation. And then look at verse 27. There's the word that he might present. What is the Lord doing today? He is presenting us as his bride to himself without any spot or without any wrinkle. Amen. So what we can say in verse 27 is we have bride presentation that makes the Lord happy. Amen. And what is another word we can use? We can say this, that we have bride beautification. What is the Lord doing with all of us right now? He's beautifying us. Amen. With himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. Amen. As I stand here, I'm getting beautified because I'm doing the speaking. Amen. And if you're exercising your spirit, you are enjoying that beautification as well. Amen. Amen? Amen? I like that. Yeah. You know, the Lord cares more. This may be stunning. The Lord cares more about our beauty than our doing. He doesn't want us to do so much. Oh, Lord, you know, we get saved. Oh, Lord, now I'll serve you, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. Pretty soon you get burned out. But if you just say, Lord, I love you. Amen. I love being in this romance with you. Ah, then what? He says, okay, I'll beautify you with myself. Amen. I'm looking at six beautiful brothers. then as his beauty is transfused into us, then what? The obvious and normal outcome is we express him and not ourselves. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Oh, okay. Did we read letter B? Okay, let's read letter B. Okay. Counterpart. Let's read. Well, this also indicates that God doesn't want to be alone. That's what this indicates, really. If you really get into it, it's not good for man to be alone. Well, God was a bachelor. He doesn't want to be alone. So let's look at number one. Go. Literally, the counterpart or helpmeet should run parallel with the husband. So they should run parallel. along a path toward what? The enjoyment of the Lord for the accomplishment of his goal. However, it says here, not however, but even the more it says here, a counterpart, a complement. So, brothers, I would just like to say this to us, dear sisters and so forth, please give me the liberty. Sometimes I think my complement helps me get to the Lord. And so, for that reason, it's good. It's good to have a helpmeet. You know, my dear wife sometimes, she's sitting back here, so she'll give me the liberty. She'll say this to me, "You didn't tell me you love me." I said, "I told you last year. What's the big deal?" And then she, you know, then she'll, you know, sisters, you know, yeah. And then I have to get to the Lord, you know, to take care of the situation. You know, I'm kind of thick that way. Oh, okay, I love you, you know. A good compliment. Number two, although God, Christ, is absolutely and eternally perfect, he is not complete without the church as his wife. God desires, God desires to have both Adam, typifying Christ, and Eve, typifying the church. His purpose is to let them have dominion. His purpose is to have a victorious Christ plus a victorious church. Now, please continue the reading. A Christ, go. This is, and we didn't read, the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, image and dominion. Now, please underline, because that's what I did in the outline, underline the word overcome. We just do not overcome the enemy, but we also, and underline this word, overthrow him. We need, dear saints, we need not just to overcome him personally, but corporately, we need to kick him out of the universe because his usurping hand has almost, with his infusing his evil nature into man, pushed God off the earth. We need to bring God back to the earth. We need God's will to be done on the earth as it is in the heavens. No problem in the heavens, but there's a problem on the earth because of the usurping enemy, and we need to push him out. Therefore, we need to overcome him, and we need to overthrow him. But don't do this in yourselves. Don't do this in yourself. You will be defeated. Do this in the body. Ephesians chapter 6 is clear. But you need to have, in order to be in the body, you need Ephesians chapter 3 to be strengthened with power through his spirit into your inner man. Okay. Roman numeral 3. Please read. From A, letter A, I will read, from the ground God formed every animal of the field and every bird of heaven and brought them to Adam. And the man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of heaven and to every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper as his counterpart. Let me read one and two, and then I'll say something. The wife must be the same as the husband in life, nature, and expression. Number two, among the cattle, the birds, and the animals, Adam did not find a counterpart for himself, one that could match him. All the animals were brought to Adam. He named them. In my experience, this illustrates what I went through. Dear saints, before I began to meet this way, I was raised in the Baptist church denomination, and I saw a lot of hypocrisy, and so I left. Then I began to meet with those meet as the Pentecostals, and that was a little bit more enjoyable. The Baptist denomination that I was in, this is my experience, was not that, it was kind of, I'll just use the word, it was kind of dead. And the Pentecostals were much more lively, and so I enjoyed it. But eventually, I was hungry. And so I left, I enjoyed it, but then It was like the food went away quickly. So then I began to study the Bible, and the Lord rescued me with Jehovah's Witnesses. And then I went into a deep sleep because I realized that the Jehovah's Witness were, they couldn't answer two questions. Number one, what was the origin of Satan? Number two was, this wasn't a question, this was a bothering that I had, wasn't a question. The first was a question, and this one was, Jesus is, I believe that Jesus was God. Amen. Dear saints, Jesus is God.
Amen.
Don't ever doubt that.
Amen.
Okay, so anyway, to me, that was an elephant. That was a giraffe. That was a hippopotamus. All these different, they didn't match the inward feeling that I had. Until I began to meet here, then I said, aha, at last, I found the Christ. I found the Christ who's all in. I found him. He's everything. Those places were okay, but they didn't have this living reality that we're experiencing here now. So I hope that everyone here could find the Christ. He really is the all in all. He's the center. And if he's the center, he deserves our first love. He deserves the preeminence. And when he gets the preeminence from us, we are satisfied. And I can testify that now, after I woke up, you know, I passed through a time where I didn't want anything to do with anything Christian. But then I woke up because the Lord was merciful. I woke up and I found him in the church, and I've been happy ever since, and that's been since quite a number of years. Anyway, I'm going to turn the time over to our brother. He has some fellowship. Let me just read one more point, and then I'll turn the time over to our brother. In order, letter B, let's read that together. Go. I'm so happy that God became a man, and now I can enjoy him in his life, nature, and become his expression. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord wants a bride.
Amen.
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 And this bride comes from among men. But these men who the bride is coming from have the divine life.
Amen.
And so those of us who have the divine life, all believers, we have a wonderful relationship with God. When I consider it, I just am beside myself with joy.
Amen.
That God desires to marry man.
Amen. Amen.
Not the natural man, not the man that by his first birth only, but he wants to marry the men who have the second birth. The birth by through which they receive the divine life.
Amen.
And this divine life is uncreated,
amen,
indestructible,
amen,
life imparting,
amen,
life releasing,
amen,
wonderful.
Amen.
This life is. And this life does something to the men it inhabits. It causes them to be regenerated, as I mentioned, but it causes them also to be sanctified,
amen,
to be transformed,
amen,
ultimately to be glorified.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm like Willie. I mean, it gets you into a speechless condition. You run out of superlatives to describe what goes on. But here in Genesis, there is a revelation that shows us that God's way to accomplish his purpose is by life.
Amen.
He does it by life. He doesn't do it by any other way, but he does it by his life.
Amen.
And the day that we receive the Lord, when I consider it, I never heard such words that the eternal, uncreated life of God was entering me. I just thought I was getting my sins forgiven. I just thought I was getting my slate clean. And I needed my slate to be clean. No doubt about that. But there's so much more, and we're going to touch it here in a moment. Romans 5:10 says, if somebody can give me the first two words, I can. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. That's judicial redemption, as Brother Willie was mentioning. Judicial, unbelievably thorough. Through the death of his son, but much more.
Amen.
We shall be saved in his life, having been reconciled. Wow. We have the divine life. The divine life saves us even more thoroughly than the judicial redemption. Thank the Lord. We have judicial redemption. We will never perish because of our sins. We won't. The Lord paid the ultimate price for us. But there's more to God's salvation than just judicial redemption. And I don't know how I got here, but anyway, I'm thankful to the Lord.
Amen.
We will have a little fellowship under Roman numeral 3. Amen.
Amen.
Roman numeral 3, C. Let's read C.
Jehovah God causes deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place.
Now, before you turn the page, you need to, there's always in the Bible, it's good to have a dictionary close by, because we need to always kind of consider the words that we read. God caused not a short sleep, a deep sleep to fall upon the man. Later on in the outline, it mentions this matter of sleep refers to death a number of times in the New Testament. And so what happened with Adam was essentially put to death. And the Lord took one of the ribs out of Adam's side. We didn't read some of the verses earlier. I'd like to. Is it behind? Oh, it's in front of me. Okay. Just to show a little bit, you have Adam came from the clay. Adam. He came from the clay. But when Adam was being formed from the clay, she had not been named yet. But she was in Adam. So when God created Adam, he created a corporate man. Most of the time we're thinking the Lord created Adam, a single person. But actually, he created Adam, a corporate man, because Eve was in Adam. How do we know that? Well, the Lord took the rib out and showed us. This is what was actually there, was the woman was there. Because if you read the verses earlier in chapter 1, it mentions the matter of, oh, thank you. Thank you, brother. When Eve, oh Lord, Eve and Adam. But when he mentioned the matter of, he says in verse 26, if somebody could give me the first, Genesis 1:26. God said, yes, God said, amen. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Wow. Let them have dominion. He's talking about man, but he says, let them. Then he says in the next verse that man was made in the image of God. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, why is this significant? It's significant because Adam is a type. That means he's a picture of Christ. Amen. And Eve is a picture. Who, Tim? The church. Wow. Oh, my. You got to consider. Okay, so when we partake of Christ, in the process of getting saved. Okay, brothers, could you three brothers come? Three brothers here. And stand right here in front of me, sorry. These are wonderful brothers. And each of them has partaken of Christ. But they need Christ to spread.
Amen.
Within their being.
Yes.
But the more Christ spreads in their being, ultimately, when you put all the Christ together that they've gained, you have the church.
Right. Amen.
Right. This is just phenomenal to me. It's not that you put the three brothers together and you have the church. It's when you put the Christ that they have gained and you put it together, then you have the church.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers.
Amen.
Oh, there's so much in verses. I don't know. Verse 1, numeral 1. I'll read it. Adam's deep sleep for the producing of Eve as his wife typifies Christ's death on the cross for the producing of the church as his counterpart. And Willie read the verses in Ephesians a little earlier. Christ's death on the cross for the producing of the church as his counterpart. The church is a wonderful, wonderful matter in the scriptures. I'm saying this for the sake of those who may be new. A number of us got caught in something that was not quite the church. So it was the believers, but it wasn't according to the vision and view that we see in the scripture. And so it was the scripture that ultimately caused us to become clear. I mean, you read those verses, you know. Eve comes out of Adam. The church comes out of Christ. Wow. Then let's go to number two. In the Bible, sleep often refers to death. And I made mention of this a little earlier. Number three, Christ's death is the life-releasing, life-imparting, life-propagating, life-multiplying, life-reproducing death, which is signified by the grain of wheat falling into the ground to die and to grow up in order to produce many grains. For the making of the loaf, which is the body, the church. Amen. This is marvelous. The many grains. The Lord was the single grain that went into the earth, but in his resurrection, he produced many grains. And these many grains ultimately are to be blended together to form one loaf, amen, one body. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are the one body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The church. Four, through Christ's death, the divine life within him was released. And through his resurrection, he released divine life was imparted into his believers for the constituting of the church.
Amen.
On one hand, the Lord's death was for redemption. But on the other hand, his death released his resurrection life.
Amen.
Caused his resurrection life to be imparted. You might ask, when were we born, reborn? Well, I was reborn personally about 55 years ago. But I was reborn actually about almost 2,000 years ago. I've been around a long time. And you have too. In God's heart, we were there a long time ago. But the accomplishment of our regeneration took place in the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
He was resurrected and we were resurrected too.
Amen.
He was born the firstborn Son of God. And we were born the many born sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. That happened in resurrection.
Amen.
Wow. Number five, could we all read? It's hard to say here. Who is Eve? Who is Eve, I ask? Eve is just Adam. She's Adam in another form. Eve came out of Adam and ultimately is presented back to Adam as the bride. Eve is Adam in another form. You want your mind to be blown? Just consider a lot. But that's what's shown in the scripture. Through such a process, God in Christ has been wrought into man with his life and nature so that man may be the same as God, not in the Godhead. We don't say that we have any share at all in the Godhead. That's not communicable. That's not shareable. It's just not shareable. But the life of God, the nature of God, this is shareable. And we completely share in this with God. We have the life of God, Brother Philip. I know you've thought about it and considered it. Doesn't it just kind of cause you to explode? Wow. Anyway. Well, point D. I better go on. Jehovah God built the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman, brought her to the man. You know, the whole process that Adam went through in naming the animals was to, you know, there's this little word, two words that say, the Lord caused all the animals to be from the ground. He raised up all the animals to see what Adam would name them. God already knew that there was no match. But Adam needed to see he didn't have a match. And so here it is, taken from woman, brought her to the man. Because when he brought her to the man, later on it says in the text of the outline, it says that this now, or some other translations say, this time. So when Eve was presented to Adam, he said, this time. Amen. Which means he was comparing it to the other times when all these other giraffes, rhinoceroses, hippopotamuses, even the pleasant dogs were presented before Adam, and he said, that's a giraffe. Then when Eve came, I believe Adam was quite excited. This time, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called Isha, because she came out of Ish. She came out of man. This is something out of me. And I believe one day, brothers and sisters, the Lord will say the same thing. Amen. He'll see the church in maturity, and he will say, now, this time. Amen. Time shall be over.
Amen.
That's what eventually the Lord says, time's over. That's it. Let's go. Amen. When my wife and I got married, we were crazy. We were really crazy, but there was a point at which we both said, this time.
This time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is going to say, this time.
Amen.
One, could you all read that, please?
The rib taken from Adam's own side typifies the unbreakable, indestructible, eternal life of Christ, which flowed out of his clear side to impart life to his holy believers for the producing and building up of the church as his counterpart.
Hey, brothers. B. Sisters.
There was no meaning of redemption through the blood because there was no sin.
C. However, by the time that Christ was sleeping on the cross, there was the problem of sin. Thus, the blood that came out of Christ's side was for our judicial redemption. D. Following the blood. the water came out, which is the flowing life of God for our organic salvation. Control of created life is typified by the rib taken out of Adam's side. Amen. I think that's very clear, clearly presented there, because it shows that out of the side of Adam, only the rib came out. No blood was needed because sin had not come in. In Genesis 2, sin had not come into the situation with man. So there was no need of blood. But by the time in John 19, man was fully involved with sin, and there was the need of the blood to deal with man's sin. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It dealt with man's sin and cleared up the situation of man's sin. Oh, Lord. Then D2. All together, yeah. Genesis 2:22. What's so wonderful about this is the Bible uses a word built. It doesn't use the word formed here. Adam was formed, but the church was built.
Amen.
So this shows that the church is being built today out of the resurrection life of God, of Christ. And this resurrection life of Christ is in all the believers, as we are today giving our cooperation to the Lord. We are being built together.
Amen.
Into a corporate dwelling place of God, and ultimately to be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
This is verse number 3, brothers.
The church has the real Eve.
Ultimately, I mean, consider, the Lord wants a He has reproduced himself in the church. Just like Adam, Eve was the extension of Adam. She was the reproduction of Adam. She was Adam in another form. Wow, it's just... Amen. Verse number 3, we just read, right? 4, sisters. Amen. Brothers, A. Amen. We have to put off all the natural life.
Amen.
This means not only the evil, but also even the good. That's not Christ. What God wants is the living Christ to be expressed. Point B. Sisters. Sorry. Let's start again. To live out everything is not the church. Amen. 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 Point C, brothers.
Only that which comes out of Christ can be recognized by Christ.
Amen. Let me read 5. At the end of the Bible is a city, New Jerusalem, the ultimate and eternal woman, the corporate bride, the wife of the Lamb, built with 3 precious materials, fulfilling for eternity the type shown in Genesis 2. Thus, in type, all the precious materials mentioned in Genesis 2, 11 through 12, are for the building of the woman. 6. As Eve was taken out of Adam and brought back to Adam to be one flesh with him, so the church produced out of Christ will go back to Christ to be one spirit with him. Amen. Christ and the church as one spirit, typified by a husband and wife as one flesh, are the great mystery.
Amen.
7. In the future, Christ as the holy bridegroom will present us to himself as his counterpart for his marriage. Just as God presented Eve to Adam as his counterpart for his marriage. We spoke about this a little earlier. A, Ephesians 5:27 reveals the beauty of the bride, saying that Christ will present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she would be holy and without blemish. B, the beauty of the bride comes from the very Christ who is wrought into the church and who is then expressed to the church. C, the Lord's recovery is for the preparation of the bride of Christ, who is composed of all the overcomers.
Amen.
E, the man said, this time. How about we say that together?
This time.
This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, because out of man this one was taken. Therefore, a man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Brothers, verse one, number 1. Wow, Christly, resurrectionly, and heavenly.
Amen.
2, sisters.
Only those who are regenerated of Christ,
and the church,
and the brothers. When Christ Jesus, he surely says, this time.
Amen.
4,
excuse me, sisters.
Just as Eve was the increase of Adam, the church as the bride
is
the increase of Christ, as the
bride grew. 5 altogether. Adam and Eve coming one flesh, a complete unit.
Is a figure of God and man being joined
as one. The coming New Jerusalem. Amen. F, I'll read. Adam and Eve, being one, lived a married life together as husband and wife. This portrays that in the New Jerusalem, the processed and consummated redeeming triune God, as the universal husband, will live a married life with the redeemed, regenerated, transformed, and glorified humanity as the wife forever. Amen.
Amen.
Then number 1, brothers.
The triune God who went through the process of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and who ultimately became the life-giving spirit.
Wow.
Of God.
and two sisters. Amazing the language. It is tremendous language, but it completely describes. The reason I say it's wonderful language is a good language will be able to express all the different things in a culture. What has been these last 2 points particularly? The triune God who went through the processes. Incarnation, human living, crucifixion, you can't leave out any one of these.
Right.
Resurrection and ascension. And who ultimately became the life-giving spirit. Amen. Is joined in marriage to the created. We were created,
right.
But we were also redeemed
because
we fell. We were regenerated.
Amen.
We had the divine life.
Amen.
Transformed and glorified tripartite man.
Amen.
I just love it.
Because
it expresses so completely what has happened and is currently happening in the Lord's body.
Amen.
So I have to end. I'm over time. I'm sorry.